When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends. Family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you. Then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you. Let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't got to be super smart and got to know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever it is.
It's good if you want to be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money, buy income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste some good food on plate.
What's good with it, my wealthy people? David Bellard with Black Wealth Renaissance here, man. Season 4, I'm just appalled at how amazing this has been continually, man.
I'm not appalled.
Appalled. I'm so appalled.
Hey, if y'all don't know, that's that My Doctor Twisted Fantasy. Hey, that shit go hard, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
But, yeah, man, like David said, we back, we better. Season 4 is continuing to be great. We got some great announcements. Announcement probably be made after this, before
this,
episode actually drops. But man, we back at it. We in Dallas, still hot as shit, but still making it happen. I'm loving it. We got a special guest in the building with us today.
Man.
I'm gonna let you do the introduction, David.
Man. I appreciate it. Y'all always know it's gems to listen when you're listening on this Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. And I'm honored to have the brother that we have on today because we've worked with him in the past for our events. I've heard him speak at several things. And he's truly a man that offers value and has passion for our community and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So this brother, he's a business lawyer and a tax strategist. He's the owner of the Uber Law Group. Mr. Uber himself, Mr. Saludo Uber. Saludo, how you doing, brother?
Doing well, brother. How y'all doing?
Thank you for coming on, my brother.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate y'all.
Oh, no problem, man.
I appreciate you pulling up for real, Saludo, man. Like, this is overdue. I can't believe, like, whenever I hit you up, I was like, damn, bro. Why did I not think of this? I was mad at myself. I was real life hot. I was like, why did I not hit this man up?
It really was like that sometimes.
I was mad at myself, bro. But I'm glad that we could get you here. Because I know, again, like, you've taught me a lot personally, and I've gained a lot of value just from conversations with you. So I'm grateful to have you on the podcast to share your journey.
I'm glad to be here. Glad to be here.
For sure.
Yes, sir.
So, Saludo, man, just hopping into it, just to get started, would like for you to give an introduction to yourself and just kind of how you got started in the whole law field.
Yeah. So, like these brothers so wonderfully introduced, my name is Saluto Uba. I'm the founder of the Uba Law Group. We help high-performing entrepreneurs protect their business brand and bank. Specifically, we do that with a business foundation, legal entity, making sure that's on point. Protecting your brand with the trademark and intellectual property is so crucial in the social media age that we live in, 2022. It's a digital world. And then we help people protect their bank with tax strategy. People don't understand that the biggest expense that you will pay over the life of your business is taxes. So come up with an actual game plan so you know you have an expected end of what's happening every year instead of just hoping for the best. So that's what the company's been doing. Law firm's the Uba Law Group. It's been moving, you know, God's been blessing it. So I'm just grateful.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, because you're now full time practicing on your own, right?
Oh yeah.
What was your time like whenever you were actually, I guess, would it be corporate for you guys?
Yeah, corporate lawyer.
What was that like for you, and what skill sets or what lessons did you learn that you were able to take away and help you be successful in your current law firm?
So that's a good story. Like, it's interesting because I always knew I wanted to be a lawyer. So I'm Nigerian, grew up in a Nigerian household, and even getting to this point was kind of a challenge because, you know, lawyer's a good profession now, but back in the day, like, Nigerian parents was you either an engineer or a doctor or you're a disgrace to the family, and that was it. So I knew I wanted to be a lawyer.
The same thing.
That is crazy.
No, so now lawyer, like, it's got a little prestige on it. So now that I'm at a lawyer, so but growing up, knew I wanted to be a lawyer. Went to UT Austin. Parents had me on the engineering route. My first semester, I took calculus, physics, and bio, and did terribly. And it was like, hey, this ain't for me. I want to do the lawyer thing. Switched over to government, graduated, did my first year of law school at Howard from Texas. Wanted to live in Texas, work in Texas. Switched over to SMU, finished out in Dallas, and then I started working the firm life. And so, like, it was what I wanted. Like, I still remember, like, in law school, my big thing was, like, when I get a law firm job, I'm going to put, like, my plaques on my wall and just have it right there, you know. And so when I did it, I was like, yeah, I made it. But within a few years, I just kept on having, like, the thoughts, like, this ain't it, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'd be having conversations with other friends. I'm like, yo, I really can't see this happening. And we're working 9 to 5. 9 to 6, 9 to 10, 9 to whatever in somebody else's office, building up someone else's empire. And so they were starting to have the same thoughts. Like, mm-hmm. It was a group of us that kind of felt the same way. And it was weird because we all wanted to be lawyers. And then we get into the firm life. And like, I feel like I was fortunate. So I wasn't in a big law firm. I was in a smaller law firm. Mm-hmm. So the pay was less, but like the work experience was greater. So in 1 year, I was drafting motions that were like getting big cases that the firm had settled. Like, I was doing depositions. I was getting to appear in court and like do real stuff. And so my friends that had the nicer jobs, the bigger paychecks, they were just like typing, writing memos in the office all day long. They didn't have real experience. Mm-hmm. And so there was a trade-off there, but like, I was getting real experience and I was doing like the lawyer life, but I'm like, man, like I feel like this is something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, for me, it came to a head when my wife and I were pregnant with our first kid. Mainly my wife was the pregnant one. And so, like, when he was about to be born, like, it was like a month. I remember going over, keep on thinking the same thing. If I don't get out of here, I'm going to be trapped. I'm going to be trapped. New baby's going to come, responsibilities, family, like, and then that steady, consistent paycheck is just going to be too attractive to pass up. And so, so I resigned from my firm. No bad blood, good relationship, you know, great thing. I just, like, I got to do something different. And so the funny thing is, I don't tell the story a crazy lot, but I actually thought I was done with the legal business. Like, I resigned. So I actually started, that's when I got into real estate. 2017, I started real estate investing. We had friends that purchased an expensive course and they put us on game for free. We started fixing and flipping. Mm-hmm. So we were fixing and flipping 2017, then moving into wholesaling. For about 2 straight years, it was just real estate. But the reality of the situation is, when you're the lawyer, Even after you retire, you hang up your jersey, you get out the game, people in the community still know you that you're the lawyer. So mm-hmm. people were asking me about all sorts of crazy personal injury, immigration, family law, stuff that I didn't do. But the only thing that kind of sparked up that fire, lit that fire in me, was just like business and entrepreneurship. So for after about like a year and a half of like making businesses on the side, I was like, let me just go ahead and formalize this thing. And then I launched the Uber Law Group in 2019, and you know, we've been rolling ever since. So to answer that question more specifically, some of the things that I think were really helpful that I took from my corporate jobs were just the structure. Like the SOPs, like you really don't understand like how important that stuff is. Mm-hmm. Like a big law firm pays thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in instances to create those systems. Like they've invested in it. So if you have those, you better be taking notes and walk away with it. I wish I would have walked away with some more structure and SOP, because I still had to really kind of get a lot of stuff out the mud. And like even when I was closing the door to my office on my last day, and it just occurred to me, I was like, bro, like I'm gonna have to buy a desk and a chair. Like it don't come with none of that stuff when you start out on your own, yo. So like you're building everything from the ground up. But it really just took away a lot of structure, a lot of just the operating procedure. But the reality of the situation is some of that was like basic legal stuff, because I didn't do entrepreneurship and business formation at my firm. So even when I started my own thing, I was kind of shifting into a different practice area, but a lot of the same principles would apply.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
So what were you doing before? What were you?
Yeah, so I was doing, I started off in insurance defense litigation, and then we ultimately ended doing civil litigation. So for my last firm, one of our major clients was the second biggest utility company in the state of Texas. So we would sue people that would damage their property, and 99% of the time we settled out, and then our firm would get a percentage of the settlement. So and this is another thing that kind of like really solidified in my mind. The first year that I was there, we increased our recovery. We increased the money we got back 32%. And so, like,
I just no bonus, huh?
My salary stayed exactly the same. My salary stayed exactly the same. And so, you know, man, so, and it would just be just all, because it was a pretty big utility company. Yeah. I'm not going to say the name, but like, people mess up this stuff all the time, every week. $3,000, $5,000 check, $25,000, $55,000, $10,000, $75,000, just on a regular weekly basis. And so I started thinking through, this year.
I'm making all this money for them, but.
They made a nice little half million right there just off of, just one little practice area. And so, but I didn't own the business. So my labor went towards the firm, and I'm not mad at it. That's the game. But that was another thing that really started to cement in my mind, like, nah, I always had the entrepreneurial spirit, but like that, and then baby coming on the way, it's like, I gotta make moves. So didn't think I'd be back in the legal game, but I love just the entrepreneurial spirit. Like I'll tell clients like we're cowboys and cowgirls out here. It's the Wild West. You form a business, you think you have an idea that has value, you build it up, you give it to the public. If it actually produces value, they're going to pay you for your services, and you're just going to reinvest and keep on doing it. But it's still it can be wild out here. So
at State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was drawn to.
So I got a question. With lawyers, like, you know, with doctors, you got to specialize and everything. Do you have to do a specialization to go from, like, what you were doing to?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you should see. Okay. Here's the thing about law school. In my opinion, so law school is 3 years. Traditionally, it's 3 years. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, one of those years really ain't necessary. Because, I mean, obviously, it's the legal world. It's very academic, but there's a big practical drop off for what you really learn how to do. So it wasn't until my last year of law school, I took a class, I did an internship at a criminal courthouse. And that's the first time I actually knew how to file a case in a courthouse. First time before a judge. You know, we had a full docket of people in the of people who were in the criminal court system, and we were just like defending them before the DAs and practicing in front of the court and whatnot. Like, and I was actually being a lawyer. But until then, everything that I did was just theoretical just writing exams. Like, I was in the courthouse one time, I was on my phone or looking over notes, whatever, and then I hear somebody say, like, "Can I help you, counselor?" And I look around and it's nobody else in the courthouse, but, "Oh, you're talking to me. Oh, I'm a lawyer." That's right. But this is the first time I actually been in the courthouse.
I don't need these notes, you know, all this time.
But like, there's so much of like a practical like fallout that you don't get in school a lot of times. And then when you first start at a firm or whatever, that's when you really cut your bones. And like, clients were hip to the game. So like, who's working on my file? Who's working on my case? I'm not paying X amount of $100 an hour for this person to learn the game. And so you have to be very strategic about how you learn. You had to be a quick study, had to do all that stuff. But yeah, you got to specialize if you want to do anything. And like I say all the time, the riches are in the niches. Yeah. So I have, even with our firm, we have a specific type of offering that we do. We help you set up your business the right way, so it actually protects you. We help you own that the intellectual property, because it's too much viral stuff going on that people do not own or don't capitalize from. And then we also help you with the tax strategy. And, you know, it's something that I think is extremely important, because anybody, you know, a jack of all trades is good, but you got to master something.
Yes, sir.
To add real, not even value, to add transformation. Like, one of the things that's been dope is, and it's not even like a service per se that we have, but like, when I'm working with my clients, it to some degree, it turns into some of a coaching aspect. So we go from, "Hey, I think I need a business. I need an LLC." It's like, well, yeah, you probably do need an LLC. You probably need at least two, because you're making $150,000, $200,000. So you probably need an S Corp to funnel all the money through and ultimately own the other businesses, because otherwise you're going to have either redundant companies or you're going to be losing out a lot on self-employment tax. So this is how we structure it. And then, oh, the S Corp's here. You probably want to look into taking this savings of money and hire either a VA or somebody, a team member, by automation technology, so you can leverage that stuff. Because you're spending too much money doing stuff that's below your pay grade, or at least not the best and highest use.
Let's put a pin in that one, Saludo, because we definitely going to get more into that, because you just gave some gems right there. But I guess I just kind of get into Jalen's question a little bit more. With you being a lawyer, was there like a specific certification, anything that you had like to do to change over to business?
Just FYI, I'm like that. I had a friend tell me years ago, I can't make a point without telling a story. So if y'all need to cut me in and redirect, counselor, answer the question. I got you.
It's all good.
Coming out of law school, you just have to pass the bar. If you pass the bar, you can practice as an attorney. So there's a couple of specific bars. If you want to do patent law, you have to pass the patent bar, which is super extra technical. It's typically engineers that become lawyers that are patent attorneys. You can do it if you're not, but that's typically the niche. But other than that, you know, if you want to practice before the federal court, you got to get certified to stand before that, but, and also the Supreme Court as well. Mm-hmm. But like, typically you pass the bar in whatever state that you're in, you're good to practice law.
You just got
to
actually get good at whatever area you're
in. It's just actual life experience. We take a lot of continuing education. You learn the game from an attorney higher up. And that's typically how the game is passed down. So shout out to the homie Sonia Lakani. She's actually who taught me trademarks, because the game is you just kind of learn it from whomever. If you're moving into a new practice area, there aren't really like a course or like a curriculum in XYZ law that you can learn from. So one of my friends created that a few years ago, and that's really how I even got into trademark and add that to my services. But yeah, that's kind of how you get in.
For sure, for nah, sure. So I do want to get back into, because you was giving gems right there. From a lawyer standpoint, mm-hmm. what would you say are some common mistakes that new business owners make?
Yeah. I think people don't realize the difference between like a business and a legal entity, because mm-hmm. you can have a business, but some businesses don't necessarily require a legal entity. Most do, but some don't. But even when you have a legal entity, what do you have? Like, I tell my clients this all the time. Anybody can fill out a piece of paper at the Secretary of State's office and pay whatever the fee is. Texas, we actually have one of the highest fees in the country. You can fill out that paper and you can get your certificate of formation back from the Secretary of State. But I tell my folks, you don't need a paper LLC. You need a performing LLC because a performing LLC is what's actually going to protect you. The problem that I see in my industry, like I tell people, sometimes I feel like I'm an ambulance chaser, because people really don't tend to value the services until something's on fire, emergency. Until something's blown up. And so like, if you get sued and you didn't set your stuff up the right way, it's almost always too late to help you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the beauty of the situation with how entities are set up. Like, in Texas specifically, in a few other states, but in Texas specifically, you can pretty much shield a lot of almost all of your personal assets from being touched. You can pretty much shield it if you set it up. Even a lot of the business assets, you can still keep going and really not being interrupted like that. But people don't invest in setting it up until after something happens. So, like, for example, during the height of the pandemic, I had a dude call my office. He had a lease for office building downtown. They were back when they were doing big business, but downtown was vacant. Mm-hmm. Nobody was downtown anymore, and they were trying to pursue break him for lease. for like 70. He defaulted on the lease, $70,000-$80,000 owed, because he didn't set the entity. Like, he set it up in his business name, but because he didn't do it the right way, they're pursuing him in his personal name. Jesus. And like, he was on a call. We're doing a call, and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, there's not much that you can do here because it's too late to change this. They've filed suit and they've come after you, so you can't go retroactive. You got what you got. Mm-hmm. You should have set it up the right way. We have folks with trucking companies. Truck got repossessed. They still have additional funds that the dispatcher and, you know, and all the mother folks are coming after for the trucking company. They didn't set up the right way. The lawsuit said the company's name and your individual names. Now, that happens all the time, but if you set up the right way, you're not going to personally be on the hook. They were on the hook. They had to settle for a nice piece of change in that lawsuit. So that's what people really don't see. And then even on top of that, so we call it the aha moment or the sigh of relief. Like, people, I've audibly heard people, like, after we've been on a consult, because they have that peace of mind that, okay, this stuff is like set up legit. Cause, like, you know, entrepreneurs, hustlers, grinders, people working, making the actual business work. But for a lot of folks, in the back of their head, they're like, yo, this legal, it's not where it needs to be. And, you know, they just, you know, they ain't got time, you know, but, oh, okay, let me get something. And so, like, we call it the exhale moment. Because they can just chill and you can have that peace of mind that, hey, this is set up right, which enables people to go even harder because you don't have to worry about that, mm-hmm. the other stuff. And so, yeah, that's one of the more challenging things. I provide a protective service, and it doesn't necessarily make you money. So people's priority that they put on it, if they don't have like the right state of mind and the right
ROI. What's the ROI on this?
So, that's the funny thing though. If you get with the right, attorney, the downside is, you know, working with me sometimes can be a big investment. But the plus side is, it's an investment. You're gonna get a return on it. Mm-hmm. Like, we've, man, we've had clients, everything from tax strategy to being protected, like, oh my gosh, because we were this, this, and this, I was able to get a PPP loan because we were set up legit. Because of this, we were able to get a hub status, historically underutilized business, grants, specific programs you can start to work with to build your, but if you're not set up the right way, or if you're just trying to, you know, click, 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 get on a website and hope you got something, you're going to get what you want, but you're not going to want what you get. So, yeah, that's the challenge.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
So, Salute, I want to get more into them structures again, like how you were going into them. So, We talked about the paper LLC. You don't want a paper LLC. You want the performing LLC. Sure. So, LLC is a sexy-ass term on the internet, if we're just being honest, right? People see LLC, get an LLC, hire your kids, and you can pay them $12,000. And it's gonna hit every time, bro.
$12,950 now.
But too often, people think LLC is just the only business structure, or this is the best way to go about structuring your business. But as you were kind of getting into earlier, there are better and different ways to structure your business.
Indeed, indeed.
So can you kind of go over the different types of corporation structures that you can?
Yeah, okay. So I'm gonna give the quick version, because like it can get really layered, but it's really four entity structures that people are really talking about the most. So that's a sole proprietorship, general partnership, corporation, and LLC. And so, I try to give both sides, because I do actually feel like the LLC is the best entity that's suited for the majority of people, but it's not suited for everybody, because there are different scenarios that might require different things. So with the sole proprietorship, that's when you are just doing business in your own names. The example I use, if I started a lemonade stand, because it's 1,000 degrees outside, if I started a lemonade stand and I just said Saludo's Lemonade Stand, or if I didn't call it nothing, I'm just selling lemonade. I got the sugar and the lemons and the water, and you know, we sell it. I'm a sole proprietorship. All the money that the business makes is my personal money. Me and the business are the same.
It's associated with your social security.
Indeed, my social's on it. No separate. I mean, you can get a separate EIN, but it's still attached to you. And so, if somebody drinks my lemonade and they get sick and they have to go to the hospital and they sue my business, they're suing me personally. Mm-hmm. Me and the business are the same thing. That's sole proprietorship. Benefits is that it's real easy to start. I just go outside and start selling lemonade. But the downsides are I have no protection. I'm personally on the hook. So that's a sole proprietorship. Real quick, one of the things that also gets people caught up is a DBA. Mm-hmm. A DBA just stands for doing business as. A DBA is not a business entity. It does not protect you. It offers you no business protection. What it offers you is a trade name, a business name. So oftentimes, like even all the big corporations, they'll have like some longer extension of their name that you've never heard, because they just say Coca-Cola Corporation. They just say Apple. Those are DBAs. So when you want to have a more attractive, a sexier name to market and advertise your brand, you use the DBA. But it doesn't give you any business protection. I've had too many calls where people are like, no, I'm protected. I got a DBA. Okay, DBA over what? You set up an LLC or a corporation? No, just a DBO, so you're not protected. And so that's the thing. DBAs are useful because you want to advertise and market
it's
with
good
a dope
for a
name.
Branding standpoint.
Black Wealth Renaissance. That'd be great for a DBA. A DBA that says Black Wealth Renaissance is not going to protect you. So it's like you said, it's from the branding standpoint. So all of that is sole proprietorship. So then the next thing is a general partnership. And so I'm actually not a real big fan of how some people do general partnerships because there's nothing wrong with it, but I want people to do general partnerships with LLCs. Mm. So if you do a general partnership by itself, that's me and David. David, he's got the plug on ice. I got the lemonade on lock. So David brings the ice, I'm bringing the lemonade. We're working together. Everybody knows that we're working together. A general partnership happens when two parties are doing business together. So we can have a formal contract as a partnership agreement, or just by practice of us working together, and it's understood in the context that, hey, these two people are doing business together. Mm-hmm. We can informally, unbeknownst to each other, form a partnership.
Gotcha.
And so the problem with a general partnership like that is that you're open to double liability. So once again,
If I get sued, you get sued.
So something was wrong with my lemonade mix, and we're working together, and Jalen, he drinks our lemonade, and he gets sick, and he has to go to hospital. It don't matter. You could come after me for... So you have to go to hospital. You got $100,000 in hospital bills. You can come after me for all $100K. You can come after David for all $100K. You can come after us 50-50, whatever. So when you're in a general partnership, you're exposed to what's called double liability. And that's just an example of two people. Say we have a partnership with 5 or 10 people. One person in the group could mess up. Any other person in the group or everybody together could be held liable. And so that's not a big fan of it, because number one, there's no protection. There's no business liability protection. And then there's additional exposure. Anything that anybody does can expose you to all the liabilities of the company. So I'm just not a big fan of it. One thing that people don't realize is, like, even the real estate context, a joint venture, that's a general partnership.
Really?
So, yeah, the joint venture agreement is just another name for a general partnership. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. If I have my LLC and you have your LLC and we do a JV, no problem. Because everybody's entity is still protected.
Gotcha.
And so you can't come after me personally because my entity was in the JV. But if it's just me by myself JVing with somebody, something goes sideways at title, and you know the seller or the buyer feels some type of way, and they got the time and the money to come after you. You're personally on the hook if you're doing a general partnership in your own personal name, or a JV in your own personal name. So that's the partnership. I'm not typically a fan of it unless you're doing it inside of a business entity where you are protected. So then the next side is a corporation. Corporation, business entity. So now we're in the category of stuff where you actually do have protection. So a corporation gives you protection. You know, corporation is the oldest entity in the book. You have liability protection. If I'm Saludo's Lemonade Corporation, Jalen gets sick off my lemonade, he can only sue the corporation. Mm-hmm. He can't come after me personally. Now, the downside to the corporation is, you know, you can't just form these corporations and just get the piece of paper and just, you know, not do anything. A corporation comes with a lot of rules and structures to it. You got to have a board. You're probably going to have officers delegated. You're going to have to follow specific rules to actually run the corporation the right way. Because if someone sues me and I say I have a corporation on paper, but they're like, you haven't had a shareholders meeting in 10 years. You don't have a functioning director. You don't have a board. They don't report to nobody. You said you have officers, but you have no jobs. They can pierce through that stuff real quick and still hold me personally responsible. Corporation has more duties than the LLC. So
that's piercing the corporate veil.
That's piercing the corporate veil. So what that means is you pierce through the corporate wall of protection and you're personally held at risk. That's why I tell people you don't need a paper LLC, because paper gets pierced. You need a performing LLC. And so piercing corporate veil means, you know, you say you have an LLC on paper, a corporation on paper, but you're not running it the right way. So we're going to hold you personally responsible. And so that's what happened with that one dude that had the leases for the office space when COVID hit. He wasn't running it the right way, and in the building, they needed the bread. They wanted their money. So that's what happened. So corporation is cool, but it has more requirements to keep it maintained. An LLC has requirements, but corporations have more. But then the real negative side is when it comes to taxes, corporations are subject to double taxation. Mm-hmm. So as a corporation, as an owner of the business, it's called actually a shareholder. So the corporation makes money, and the corporation gets taxed at the corporate rate. Right now it's 21% until Congress says different. But then when you cut yourself a check from the corporation, you get taxed at your personal rate. So you can't get paid out of the corporate. It's not like an LLC. You can just take a draw. You can't get paid out of the corporation until you assign yourself a check from the corporation. So you have the corporate tax and then you have your personal tax. So you get taxed twice. So that's why for most business owners, the corporation is not, it's not the best look, because especially when you're in startup mode, you don't need to be drawing capital out of the money to pay taxes two times. So corporation will protect you. Logistically, practically, you people typically don't do that. You'll see corporations when it's typically a tech startup, it's easier to fund. Angel investors, venture capitalists, people like that, they're familiar with corporations, so it's, they know how to fund those things. You can do the same thing with LLCs, but corporations are more comfortable doing it with that. But that's not the majority of people. So you know, that's where the corporation's held. And then the LLC is kind of like we're talking about. You have that protection, and you still have requirements. You still got to run that thing the right way, but the requirements aren't as much as with the corporation. And then you also get that liability protection. And then on the tax side, there's no double taxation. It's a pass-through entity. The money that the LLC makes flows through your 1040 into your personal taxes, unless you start to do S corporation, some other. Yeah.
So and that was gonna be my next question. So, does the S corporation technically fall under the LLC umbrella or the corporation umbrella?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So S corporation is a tax selection. S corporation is not a business entity. Gotcha. So you can have a regular corporation. It's actually classified as a C corp.
Okay, so, that was my question. Yeah.
So you can have a C corp taxed as an S corp, or you can have an LLC taxed as an S corp. So traditionally, a C corp will have that double taxation, like we talked about. Corporate level and then the personal level when you pay yourself. But you can choose to have your C corp be taxed as an S corp. The only downside to that is you still have to maintain the C corp requirements and formalities. So you have that
board and all that stuff. Things.
And so in the vast majority, I forgot the numbers, but the vast majority of business owners are single member business owners. And so I just tell people from a practical level, if you want to decrease your chance for exposure, why have a corporation set up where you will need to maintain things that you typically, most people, are not maintaining? And then if something happens, you have a chance to have that corporate veil pierced.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Unless you have a specific reason to have a corporation, have an LLC, because it's easier to maintain. So that's the difference with the S-Corp.
What does S-Corp stand for?
S-Corp just stands for subchapter S of the Internal Revenue Code. So some people say it's small business, not necessarily, but like it's just subchapter S of the IRC. So an LLC taxes S-Corp. It can really be the best of both worlds, because you get that legal protection, but you're saving money on the self-employment tax that people don't even think about. You know,
that was that 15.3%.
And so, like when you have a regular W-2 job, your employer pays half, and then you have to pay the other half. But when you're self-employed, you're the employee and the employer, so you pay that full thing. And that's, you know, that shocks people a lot, because they don't realize that, you know, you're just working, making money, doing your thing. You don't realize how much you're paying. Saludo's Lemonade LLC makes $100,000 in profit. And so, say my tax bracket is 25%. 25% of $100,000 is $25,000 that I pay in taxes. Self-employment tax is on top of your regular taxes. So that 15%, So you see, and that's the conversation that I have.
You're really paying 40. So yeah. You're really paying,
man,
40% of taxes.
And but it's kind of sad because, you know, that six figure is that's a milestone for people. And I'm proud when clients are making six figures. But then we start to have the conversation.
Now you're really making 60.
You really making 60, which isn't bad, but it's not 100. And so what's dope about the S Corp is that now you can put yourself on a salary. You can give mm-hmm. yourself a salary, and now you only have to pay that 15% out of your salary. So, for example, Saludos Lemonade LLC, the S Corp, still makes the same $100,000. I give myself a $50,000 salary, and then the other $50,000 I take as a distribution. So when it comes to taxes, the federal taxes, they're always going to get their money. Like
Uncle Sam going
to
get
it. Yeah, Uncle Sam going to get his. But when it comes to self-employment tax, now that 15% self-employment isn't coming off of 100K, it's only coming off of 50K. So just like that, I saved $7,500 that I would have had to pay. And so, like, this is the thing that I love to get in people's head. And like, even so, we have a service, tax VIP consultations. And when we're doing that, a language that I use a lot is put money back in your pocket. Like, I'll physically do that on camera because I want the client to think through it. Because with that, just with the S Corp situation, you would have had to pay the extra $7,500, like, period. It just would have been on the tax return and would have paid. And now you have $7,500 more in your pocket mm-hmm. back again. So a lot of tax strategy is really retooling the mind. We have something called the SIM philosophy that we break down, where you just kind of re-understand how taxes work. Because from a practical standpoint, we have a lot of clients that are hitting that six-figure mark. And really, we need folks shifting into CEO mode. But oftentimes in the business, like, you're wearing all the hats. You got to do everything. You're the marketing, you're the fulfillment, you're the everything. So we have conversations. What would it look like for you to hire a VA? What would it look like for you to get someone to do an install of a full Zapier integration so you can have your system set up and you can be automated and you don't have to respond to all the basic emails, typing the same message to everybody or having every phone call? What would it look like for you to start to shift from the, you know, the regular menial but necessary tasks to run the business and start to shift into more big picture stuff? Like, the biggest thing that really resonates with folks is I tell them, like, hey, you don't have time to be the CEO because mm-hmm. you're too busy being the secretary. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to grow the business. You're not going to scale it to where it needs to go until you start to shift. So what it'll look like to take some of that S Corp money that you were paying to Uncle Sam that you did not have to work for. You use strategy now. You have an additional 75. We had a client, his first year, it had a saved extra $12,000 just using S Corp. You got additional 12K. What does it look like to invest that money and to hire somebody out? And just like that, you didn't have to sell a single product. You didn't have to do another client. You didn't have to do anything extra. And now you can move into CEO mode. Now you can grow and enhance the business. So that's why I get excited about taxes. Like, I nerd out over the tax code, and a lot of people don't do that. But for me, it translates into real life change for people because you can use that money and do things that you were already going to do without having to work more. So that's the short answer to what the entities are. But, like, it's real.
Hey, I appreciate you breaking it down. And I appreciate, because you always break it down in a way that's very easy to understand. So, and
making how you say that with legalese?
Yeah, I turn legalese into English. Like, I mean, the challenge, though, is people are interacting with this stuff all the time. Like, obviously, the legal world is going to make an imprint on you. But do you really understand what's happening? Like, I've had people who they start LLC and they became an S Corp off the jump, making no money. They made like $10,000 the first year. That's not a good idea. I've had clients making $150,000. They told them that their accountant said it's not time to be an S Corp. And then when I explained, hey, this is what happens. This is what it means to be an S Corp. This is what self-employment tax is. This is how much money you're saving. You're a smart guy. Do the numbers. And so we have a matrix that comes out to about $40,000. If you're making 40K in profit, you're going to save money from being an S Corp. And so I've had a client over six figures for several years. And I didn't say it to him in my mind. So, oh, you probably overpaid 25 racks. You know what I mean? It's gone. Uncle Sam is not going to give it back. It ain't coming back. But, you know, and So translating it into English is crucial for people because it can feel intimidating. So empowering people that, hey, this is what it is. And if you don't know, Like, hey, you know somebody that knows. If I don't know, I have experts in my circle that I can put you in front of. And so that's really the biggest thing to help people start to make CEO moves and to really grow and scale at whatever they're doing.
And so I kind of want to move to the other side, mm-hmm. which is the protection part.
Oh, for sure.
The trademarks and copywriting. I'm looking at it on your shirt. So, like, let's talk about that, because I did see you had a video recently where you were talking about, you know, the paper LLC. People think that once I have that, that mm-hmm. protects me, but it doesn't. So let's talk about how trademarks are actually the best way to protect your business.
Yeah, so it's dope that you brought up that transition. So just kind of like with a paper LLC, like, you're not going to protect the business. Someone can still sue you personally. Without actual intellectual property, you're just throwing your ideas out into the world to be mm-hmm. a free-for-all. Like, it's... last year, China filed, I believe, over $200,000 trademarks in the U.S.
They're serious? Filing for you.
And China is one of the biggest players when it comes to intellectual property in the U.S.
That's what I'm thinking too.
No, it's they're not playing. And just even when you think about it with real estate too, you know, China buying up all type of land, but also buying intellectual property mm-hmm. as well. So when it came, and this isn't throwing shade at China, because mm-hmm. anybody can do it and people will take your ideas, whatever. But when it comes to what you produce and what you throw online on the internet, like, without a trademark, you don't own it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can have the website, you can have the LLC, you can have the DBA, you can have all the social media handles. Without a trademark, you do not legally own your brand. Now, there's some rights that you have, but your ability to enforce it is going to be way more complicated, because in legal terms, if you have a trademark, you don't even need to argue. If you have a federal trademark, the court assumes that you have all ownership rights over that brand.
So hold on. Wait a minute, Saludo.
Yeah.
If I own Saludo, if you own Saludo's lemonade stand and I go get a trademark for Saludo's lemonade stand, am I entitled to the profits from your business? If that, like, is that not how that works?
So it's not about the profits to my business, but if you want to, so say I had a huge popping social media following. Mm-hmm. If you want to open up, create a social media account with my name, and you trademarked my name, and then you can convince everybody that your account was a legit one, and you can say you start a campaign, or you do like a little quick little product, or, you know, $9 ebook, and people think that you're me, and everybody just automatically gives you those sales because now you have my branding, now you have the ownership rights and the assumed the assumption in the world that you're actually me. So that's the crazy thing. It was another story in the news. The Office, Dunder Mifflin. I know a lot of people like The Office. I love The Office myself. There is just a random dude based out of Cali. He bought the trade. He applied for the trademark to Dunder Mifflin. NBC owns The Office, huge multinational corporation.
Tell me,
NBC is fighting one dude in Cali over the rights to the name.
They didn't freaking own the trademark.
They didn't own it. And so at the end of the day, do I believe NBC is going to get it back? Yes.
Yeah, they got a long
budget. But now they got to go through a legal battle, and this dude is probably going to get a payday.
I was about to say, they're going to have to settle with it.
Yeah, that was the game, though.
So with him having that, they couldn't like license out Dunder Mifflin to a company to make a shirt because he has the trade. Wow. And
so it's that's the sad part, because at the end of the day, you can get the ownership rights. If you're the actual owner, you have common law uses. They're all such a different ways to do it. But NBC is still about to have a headache with this one dude. Imagine just regular Joe Schmo, regular average business owner. Like, mm-hmm. you got to go through all types of circles to do it. We had somebody call our office. They had a grand business opening. A week later, they got a cease and desist letter because somebody else was claiming that they had the rights to that name. They had a physical store, big old sign and everything. And now they got to figure out, oh, do I have to rebrand? Do I have to do this? Like, people don't realize how crucial it is, but like, you market on the internet, you market on social media. People see what you're doing. If you don't own it, somebody else can own it. And then either you got to rebrand or you got to jump through a whole bunch of hoops to get what was actually yours from the jump. And so when we say ownership is the new black, intellectual property is, I think people sleep on it because it's invisible. It's just stuff on the internet or just your brand or a name or a logo or whatever. yo, people are getting major deals off of brands and all this stuff. Like, you need to own your stuff. If you're trying to license, if you're trying to franchise, like, you need to own your stuff. There was, I forgot what the report said, but owning a trademark, like, exponentially increased the value of one's company by, it's either five or seven times the value. Like, if you're thinking of franchising and stuff like that. And so people don't, even if you're not doing that, like, someone will send you a letter. I have someone that's about to go to court over a business they started because they don't own the name. And so I have a conversation. Oh, man, you charge XYZ. Yeah, I do. Because I'm about to represent you to the federal government for a year and a half. And here's another thing I tell people all the time. Trademarking is not fast. Trademark takes a long time. USPTO on their website, they say the average time is between a year and a year and a half. And so during this time,
we can attest to that. That is true.
13 months.
For sure. And so, and like, even the biggest thing is, like, even before the trademark is completed, at least if you apply, you get your foot in the door first for priority. So if I apply for Saludo's Lemonade Stand, if I apply for my trademark today and David applies for it tomorrow, the trademark office will not even look at his application until they've completed mine. So even if it takes a year and a half, they're not even going to touch his. But, you know, that's part of the game, too. It takes a while, but at least get your foot in the door. And so people, you know, what's the value, yada, yada. Okay, get hit with a cease and desist and see what's up.
So people are kind of, I'm pretty sure you've heard of domain flipping. People trademark flipping.
It's a bit harder. Like, there are laws against it. People know the game. People see that people are squatting, but, like, there are still ways to legitimately have somebody else's IP. And then even from a practical standpoint, for you to fight for your rights and get your stuff back, oftentimes it's not worth the money. Like, people don't have the money to really go after what was theirs. So just own it outright from the jump and don't put yourself in that situation. But, like, that's kind of, like I said, like, it's a protective service. So one of the things that's been kind of encouraging to me are more people are getting up on game and understanding the value of intellectual property. But still, for a lot of folks, something has to happen to them first before they realize, oh, man, I need to protect this.
Yeah, like, I got, like you said, by then it's too damn late.
By then it's too late. Yeah. So another good example was the Walmart Juneteenth ice cream situation. And so it's man,
they pulled that off the shelf so quick.
Man, so but that's kind of what's got me tight, because they pulled it off, but it was only public outcry that made them pull it off. We can't always depend on social currency in order to defend and own and possess what's ours. Like, prior to them pulling it off,
Why nobody filed for this shit?
So the trademark was owned by the Balcom Corporation, which is kind of the extension of Walmart. It's a great value Juneteenth flavor. Great values, you know, Walmart's brand or whatever. And so they had a trademark for flavoring. They also had a trademark for general baked goods. I believe the trademark covered candles. I'm not sure about the candle part, but it was baked goods, flavors, all that stuff, but things in that arena. And so it's not just ice cream. If you had a, you know, trademark Juneteenth pies, if you had Juneteenth whatever, you can't use that name because nobody thought to own it. And even if there are people in the community that, you know, that had the right heart where, you know, they weren't going to try to take everything. Oh, I can have pies. You can have this. You can have that. If they wanted to kind of spread the intellectual property, you don't have that option, because the Balcom Corporation had a trademark for that. And guess what? Balcom Corp probably wasn't about to be so generous. And, you know, thankfully, public outcry made them change. But, like,
yeah, like you said, we can't just rely on that all the time.
You got to own your stuff.
That's crazy. So the Balcom Corporation owns the trademark to Juneteenth.
Yeah. So they voluntarily abandoned the trademark. It's currently, like, it's abandoned. But,
hey, guys, we got to get that shit. We going to buy it.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody had an objection for somebody else trying to come out. Yeah. Look, that's the thing that's frustrating sometimes, because we're a very popular culture. Like, we can make stuff pop, we can go viral, but we're not necessarily profitable because we don't own our property. And I'm not even trying to alliterate like that, but it's like, yo, that like it's bars, yeah, but like it's so much stuff that's popping and that's moving. Like, why don't you own it legit? Like, do you know how much you can leverage your name just to license it? Like, you blow something up, license the name, let your company, you know, be like a big holding company, have branches and different divisions with the name that you've made, and you continue to grow and make hot, and then get residual income just off of the licensing because you actually own the name. But if you don't own the name, you can't license it.
That's crazy. So I got two questions. Yeah. Like, even on the licensing part, I actually saw something really interesting. Mickey Mouse's licensing is about to go up in like the next year or something. Like, it's going to be released from Disney. So that was like a very big high thing that they're like trying to see. I think is does trademarks expire or like.
Good question. Trademarks do not expire as long as you're using it. Trademarks are the only intellectual property that don't have a clock on it.
Okay.
So you have to renew a trademark every 10 years, but you can renew it. The ownership of the trademark can pass with, you know, you can be transferred to whomever, but it doesn't expire.
If I don't renew it, what happens?
If you don't renew it, then it'll expire. Then somebody else can come in and take it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Indeed. So,
I know you got. I'm gonna let you get your question.
I was just gonna say the difference between copywriting and what does the R stand
for? Sure.
Rights reserved.
Yeah. So that's a big thing. Copyrights and trademarks. People kind of get that confused sometimes. So I stole this from another attorney, but copyrights protect content. Trademarks protect branding. Copyrights protect content. Trademarks protect branding. So for a copyright is, I like to call it, the right to reproduce something. So if I write a book, David can't take my book and resell it unless I give him the right to do that. Only I can do that. I have the copyright. Mm-hmm. The legal term is original works of authorship put into a tangible medium. That just means an idea that I put into a form. So I can copyright a book, a song, a movie, curriculum, a course, like anything that's an idea that you put into a tangible form. And so what's really important to understand, though, is you can't copyright an idea. You can only copyright like the way that you create it. So an example, I have an idea for a TV show where people sing and every week they get voted off and you have four judges and at the end they get awarded a lot of money. Am I talking about American Idol, The Voice, X Factor?
It's all the same thing. You don't
know. It's the same idea, but the different shows are what you have the actual copyright over. And so anybody can have the idea, but how you actually translate it, that's what you have the copyright for. Mm. Now, the trademark is to protect branding. Trademark will typically protect a brand name, a logo, a slogan. A trademark is what I call a source identifier. So if I see Black Wealth Renaissance, I automatically know who the source of that good, that product, that service is. Another example I like to say, if you're at the mall, you see a shirt and it says N-I-K-E. Automatically, you know a lot about that shirt. You know the quality of it. You probably know how much it's going to cost. You know what athletes or celebrities endorsing, all that stuff. Because just like that, someone could put Nike and you automatically know what's up when it comes to that brand. That's the power of a trademark. So that's the difference between the two. They do different things, but they're not the same.
So for a copyright, do you have to file for that, or is it Indeed. Like inherent?
So yes and no. So as soon as you create something, you own that copyright. But in order to enforce those rights, you want to have a federally registered copyright. So you file for copyright registration federally and to be able to enforce it. And one of the things that's dope about the copyright game is there's something called statutory damages. So even if someone does not know that they're infringing on your copyright, there's an amount of money that you can get for an infringement, including attorney's fees up to, it's decent money.
Really?
Yeah. So what people, and you see all the time on social media, XYZ person is ripping off this other person's brand and yada, yada, yada. If you had that thing copywritten, you can hit them with the cease and desist. You want to be nice. They don't want to listen. All right. I'm going to see you in court. And then the copyright is the federally registered and understood right that, hey, I'm the owner. So you could be mistaken. You could do it on purpose. You whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. There's a certain amount of damages that can go along with it. And then if you really want to go down the litigation train, like, people can get really caught up doing copyright infringement. Man. It's power.
You got me thinking, man.
All these people sending people courses and shit?
It's courses. I'm wondering, like, about people that, like, do the stuff or the scamming on IG stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, recently there's a bug.
Motherfucker keep on making fake pages of us.
Yeah, man. You see, hitting up people talking about, hey, man, you can buy Bitcoin. Bro, stop that.
And the grammar's always off, though. That's the thing. You always see the grammar's always off. I seen how you posted it. But, like, yeah, you could. It probably wouldn't be worth it because it's a bot of a bot somewhere and tracking the person down and figuring out. You can have that right. Just because you can do something doesn't mean it's a practical use of time or whatever. But like if it's someone legit trying to impose, typically this will happen like in the restaurant industry. A restaurant will build up a name. Was it Timmy Chan's? So Timmy Chan's is a Chinese food spot in Houston. And so I remember a story back in the day of like there's another Chinese spot trying to use a similar name. Mm-hmm. And so that's trademark infringement. And so either typically someone will ask you politely. If you don't respond politely, you're gonna pay that bread. Like it's not a game because you're stealing your goodwill. It takes a lot of time to build up a reputation. People see BWR and they know what's up from the jump, but that didn't always happen. It took time to build that. You can't just leech off of that goodwill and then use it to market your stuff and make money. No, there's a value amount to that. There's a monetary amount to that. So the trademark is how you protect that value, how you really in real life own that. Copyright, that's how you own what you create, whether it be a song or a movie or book or whatever. So that's the difference between the two, but they're really important but different.
And what about the reservation of right?
You mean the R with the circle around it? So for that applies to a trademark. So okay. When you're trademarking something and you haven't gotten it federally registered, you can put TM next to the thing. So that just means that, you know, this is something that is in the process of being trademarked, or you're seeking a trademark, or you're just kind of throwing it out there. Hey, this is our stuff. We're trying to trademark it. After you go through the trademark process, you can use the circle R logo for the trademark. That means it's a federally registered trademark. We own it. That's ours. So, and similar with the copyright, something's copywritten, put the C with the circle around it and the year of the copyright on it. But the R and the TM are actually two different things with two different meanings. The R is legit. The R is federally registered. And trademark just means that we're trying to go in that direction.
I got you. And copyright, what is their expiration? How long?
Trippin, 50 or 70 years after the death of the author. One of those numbers. My brain isn't working right now. So, I mean, it's still a good amount, but that's why what's unique about trademarks, they're the only thing that can last forever. Coca-Cola been trademarked since back in the day, and the family's been passing it on and the company, you know, and just, you know, and doing it. But books will run out of registration. That's why, like, old books from back in the day, like, people will copy it because the copyright expired. And so, yeah, like there's different things that that copyright. And then there's oftentimes that's why you'll see people 2021 edition or whatever, because they're just renewing the copyright. Like they're just adding a little bit and it's still the same book and kind of renewing that.
Shit.
But yeah, that's
I never did know that was a part of it.
Yeah, seventh volume. It's the exact same book.
So, saludo. Oof. Yeah, I don't know what
it hurt him to say. It hurt him to say it.
It just hit me. I ain't gonna lie. I don't know what hit me, but it hit me. But I do want to get into kind of just more of the concept of what your shirt talks about, right?
Oh, for sure.
Ownership is the new black, right? We were talking about this off camera prior to getting the episode started.
Process of being trademarked.
By the way. I see. I'm looking at it. And I was like, okay, I understand that. <For sure. laughs>
Yeah. So
we
like,
actually set that up right on Instagram too, and I didn't even know it.
We were smarter than we thought we was. I'll tell you that, but no, like we were talking about this off camera, just like, kind of like how as a community we place value in a lot of the wrong places,
for sure.
And how ownership is really where we should be placing our values.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So
where did the concept behind this come from?
Yeah, man. It's funny because like even when I'll do talks or presentations, I call myself an ownership advocate now, just because being a business attorney, being an entrepreneurship attorney, this was really kind of the thing that really kind of sparked interest in me. Like I said, I resigned. I thought I was done with the law. I just love business and ownership. What I saw in the community, though, because even I did real estate at first for a few years and then I shifted back into my own firm. Black ownership of stuff in general is just low.
Slim.
Black home ownership, the number of black business owners. It's been increasing recently, but just overall, it's slow.
Black people that own stocks.
I mean, back that own stock, that own investments. And so, but even in a lot of these categories, there's challenges. 50% of all businesses will fail in the first five to 7 years. And then 80% of black businesses fail in the first 18 months. Mm-hmm. And so 18 months.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's wild. And so when it comes to creating a pipeline of like real infrastructure that will help you grow and help you create change, this is where it comes from a lot. And one of the things that one of the areas that people I feel like are missing is like even in like social justice issues or deals, things in the community or change that you want to happen and you want to see happen on the ground level. Oftentimes, like we end up not being able to get outcomes that we're looking for that we feel are proper or just or good or beneficial because we're spectators and not stakeholders. Mm. If you don't own anything, you can't be a stakeholder. You'll just kind of be like with the Juneteenth situation, you got to apply social media pressure and hope the company will cave in on your demands because you don't actually own the trademark to it. So even in different communities, something bad happens. If you're not a property owner, you can show up to the council meeting, but what good is that really going to do if you don't have an actual power to make financial change, a financial disincentive for people who are engaged in activity that doesn't align with your values? So when it comes to even the breakdown, real estate, obviously, investments, stocks, intellectual properties, and then actual businesses. So even as a community, what does it look like to build up another Tulsa or to create an ecosystem and an economy that is...
What's good, y'all? It's Aaliyah from the Young and Dumb Show. I have something for you. If you're young and interested in learning more about different careers, becoming an entrepreneur, and really get into the bag, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the Young and Dumb Show. On this show, we sit down with the biggest, and I'm talking the biggest, career professionals, entrepreneurs, influencers, and entertainers to break down how to be successful in different industries. It's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators. Let's get it, y'all.
That's really going to cater to the needs and they're important to you if somebody's in the black community. Like, what does it look like doing that? We have to build it and you have to do it the right way. You have to have a legit business. You have to value home ownership and not sell grandma's house that she
worked her whole life for and you gave it to them people for nothing.
That you inherited and come up with different ways to do this and actually own and buy stock and just sit on it and let it appreciate and grow like you should be doing. And, you know, in to own businesses or to... partner with other folks. You don't even need to be the majority person doing the thing. Just, hey, I believe in the vision. It looks like a wise business. Invest in it. Sit on that investment and watch it grow. Like, one of the things I think is crazy, and this is kind of a side note, but Peter Thiel and his Roth IRA. He self-directed. It was a small amount of money.
PayPal shit.
And he invested in Facebook. And Facebook blew up, but he invested in Facebook out of his Roth IRA.
Oh, they didn't want to let him keep that tax free.
It was so bad. They thinking about changing the structure.
They started coming for the self-directed Roth IRA because, like, he's billions of dollars tax free. He wasn't even doing nothing. He invested a little bit of money. Man, listen. But the wild thing is they're coming after the little guy. Mm-hmm. They won't let the regular investor self-direct in a Roth, or they were trying to. They got held back for the time being because of that. But just even the concept, I'm not doing nothing in the business. Just invest in a little bit. Let it grow. So regardless of where you are in the spectrum, like, it's important to make a step and to take a step. And so... From so many different angles, like, ownership is the new black. Obviously, you know, the challenges, like, I'm not one that pretends that, you know, everything is easy, but nothing in life is easy. Like, the idea that things aren't fair or aren't what they should be, that's true. Life isn't fair. People aren't equal, though. So even if things were, and that's a thought experiment I don't even think people consider a lot. Like, even if things were, like, magically fair, humans aren't equal. We choose different things. All of us in this room could be given $1 million. 1 year from now, people would be at different levels because of different decisions. So you really can't be too preoccupied in that. You really just try to do what you do, take the knowledge that you have, empower yourself, and move forward instead of kind of being stuck in what's not necessarily right because it's not going to change you thinking that way. So this is just really, it's been the campaign for a couple of years now to just encourage people, own something, start small. Investments in stocks are a real easy way to own a part of the corporations that you participate in. Don't get the new iPhone 14 Max Pro Infinity or whatever.
That XR works just fine.
You know, you'll be all right. Like, and so I say that because I'm a big phone guy. Like, I'm proud of myself having upgraded in 2 years. But still, take that 1,000, 15, whatever, and invest and own some stuff. Because it really does make a difference. And the biggest difference that it makes is on you and your mentality. Mm-hmm. Because once you start to really look at the world differently, like, you can't unsee it. So many of these things are generational things that are passed down because we don't know. But, like, yo, it's 2022. We got the internet. Like, you have the whole knowledge of the world in the palm of your hands. You can figure it out. Or you can get connected to somebody that does. So yeah, that's what Ownership is New Black is about. And like I said, we got that working on that trademark to,
yes, sir,
to get that federally registered.
Cool. So Saludo, man, I want to say thank you for hopping on the pod with us.
Thank y'all.
Hey, I appreciate you sharing these gems. We've had a great ass conversation. Great conversation.
And we gotta talk about it.
Yes, sir. We're gonna hop into a couple of little closing questions that we like to ask. So cool. My favorite question to ask everybody, what's a personal finance tip or principle that you live by that you would like to share?
Shoot. This might be basic, but we're really big in profit first. Mike McAllowis, and just systematizing how you pay yourself as a business owner. Because that's the thing, like, all the money will go into business and, like, you really don't have an established, hey, this is my salary, this is my profits, whatever. And so we just... As soon as the money hits the account every month, every couple of weeks, this money goes here, that money goes there, that money goes there, that money goes there, and, like, it's just straight and really creating a discipline around it. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the areas where I've had to grow my game because I can struggle with those types of, like, structures and disciplines, but that's been a really helpful system. Like, it doesn't work for everybody, but it's been working for us so far. So profit first has been dope. Yeah.
Shout out to Profit First. We're making that transition ourselves as well to Profit First. It definitely requires some discipline, yeah, as you man. Said. But it is worth
it's
it.
It's eye-opening.
It is very eye-opening because the term that they said, Suzanne Mariga, she wrote a version of Profit First specifically for minority entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah?
And
I got the book in my book sack. I'll show it to you.
She, one term she coined in there, I'm not sure if Mike has it in his book, is bank account accounting. And I really, like, we were so guilty of it before moving to Profit First, where it was like, bank account accounting is... You look in the bank account, I got money, I can afford it. That's not how this goes.
That's not how this works.
That's not how any of this works. Like you said, with Profit First, it allows you to know, okay, I'm going to spend about 15% on taxes. Mm-hmm. Let me just set that off aside now so that I'm not stressed about it whenever the time comes. Yeah. Like, I had the money now, but will I have it then?
And like it seems so basic, but it's nice to just, oh, tax... Here's the money. Boom. Done. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not pulling from him. No, like, it's sat to the side. And so just kind of like you said, that's a good look. I'm definitely look into the minority.
It's Profit First for minority entrepreneurs. Cool.
She actually, we interviewed her on the pod. So,
oh, dope.
Yeah, it's real dope.
Dope.
So that's David's question. I got three of them for you. First one, are you frugal or are you a flexer?
I'm not, that's the weird thing. I'm not frugal, but I'm not a flexer. Like, me, like, got family man, got two beautiful kids, my son and my daughter, and I like to do stuff, like, with them, and, like, it's dope just building up those memories. I was telling my homeboy the other day, my son has been to more continents than I've been to states at his age. Wow. Like, we went to Europe the year before the pandemic. That was a good look. And then, you know, we do Mexico or whatever. And so, like, at his age, I was in the backyard. That's as far as I got. And so just being able to see him have those experiences and, like, see the world like that brings me joy internally. And so I'm not a big flexer. Like, I'm just chilling. I like the stuff at the house that'll make life comfortable. But, like, I really don't care about the opinion of other people that really don't affect my life like that. So I'm just
chilling. Family is the flex.
Yeah, indeed. So we're working on the family, and just we moved recently, just did that before interest rates blew up, and so just chilling at the house and you know, doing stuff with the family, doing stuff with the homies, doing stuff, serving at church, doing whatever with people that I actually know, pouring in and actually doing life with. That's the flex. So
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Second question. How are you building wealth and leaving a legacy for those that's following behind you?
Dope. So it's funny that you talked about that leaving a legacy. So after my daughter was born, we had to update the will. And so we did it. But we hadn't had the witnesses sign it in like a smooth little year or so. And so that I'd been slipping on that. And so we finally got folks to witness and sign off on that. But really kind of the next step is also to set up the trust. But having those things be established as like legacy pieces is huge, because even from the real estate side, I had a few conversations with probate attorneys, and y'all know how much of a mess it is when people don't have this stuff set up right. Yeah. Like, takes so much time, takes so much energy. People come out the woodwork, like saying stuff that's not true, just all type of fuss because they don't have that set up. And then on the wealth building side, what we've been doing, Ownership is New Black, we're building out the firm, and what's been kind of dope there is as I'm working with business owners and kind of high level, 6, 7, a few 8-figure business owners, they're really kind of inspiring different ideas and ways that I can add value. So one thing that we've been doing, I shared with y'all earlier, is we're doing speaking events at colleges. So we're teaching colleges about entrepreneurship and college students, and really kind of, like I said, breaking it down into plain English so that they understand what it is from the jump and they know how to protect themselves from the jump. We've had opportunities to work with the state of Texas and talk about business and entrepreneurship. So that's been growing as well. So the whole Ownership is the New Black is really something that we stand for. I'm trying to grow actually more in the stock category. That's the area where I'm ignorant in, and really trying to learn and more and master that. And really, we have some clients that are purchasing businesses, like just buying businesses right now. And so moving into that space and learning, what does that look like?
Acquisitions and
like everything. Acquisitions is a big thing. One of the things that I try not to do, though, and it can be challenging, is that shiny object syndrome. Oh, like, this is hot. This is hot.
Yeah,
this is hot.
Man.
And so, like, man, because, like, you'll see some, and it's not that it's bad stuff. Lots of legit ideas, business adventures, but you just got to focus on what you're doing.
Yeah, put them blinders on, because if you try to start running, man, in that lane, next thing you know, you start going off rails here.
I learned a phrase from Max Maxwell a few years back is just master something, then fire yourself from that job, and then move on to something else. We're still building different things in our firms, and you know, we're building up these different areas, and they're moving along. But we gotta let them get settled so I can fire myself from that before we move on to the other one.
Are you still in real estate as well? Still buying and investing? Yeah,
not as heavy as I used to be. Saw the interview with Portia. Need to dip into a few things. That land was looking real attractive. but I do a few deals a year, but not as heavy as I used to.
Just, I got you.
It's time consuming.
But like you said, again, you don't want to get the shiny objects syndrome. Like you can't be the full time real estate investor whenever you're building your business.
That's correct. When you have a deal, I had a deal drop into my lap at the end of last year. It wasn't bad at all. But yeah, that's how that's been flowing.
Okay, last one. Do you have life insurance?
Oh, for sure. Ben, whoo, we had life insurance since we got married in 2014. We had life insurance like 2015, and like from the jump, like it's. I really wasn't hip to life insurance, but once you find out about it, it's almost alarming how easy it is to get when you're young, and like how much it will help you further on. And really, like we talk about generational wealth, like. Generation could almost be transformed just off life insurance alone. And to think through all these situations where folks are you know, passing away, sadly, but there's nothing left over. So that's one thing I'm a huge advocate for. Get it yesterday.
That's all it is for my question.
For sure.
So we'll get into some house cleaning. Saludo.
thank you again for coming through, thank my brother. Thank you for lacing us up with all this game. Definitely hope that the listeners got some value from this.
I know they did.
Please let them know, where can they follow you? Where can they tap in if they want to get your services? As he stated before, he's not cheap, but he's worth it. So, yeah, keep that in mind if y'all hit him up.
Don't be hitting him up for them homeboy deals. You know, black folk got this shit bad. We like to... Come on, dog. Let me just, like, look, the price is the price. Yeah. If you can't do it, respectfully be like, hey, I'm going to get back with you.
See, I'm glad you mentioned that, though, and thank you for the opportunity. One of the things, and so the one of the things that I balance is that I love to teach. Y'all can tell, I can talk about this stuff a little bit. But you want to make sure that you're working with people that do see the value in it. But oftentimes people are in the startup phase of the company, and they don't necessarily have the funds or the budget. We want to create an opportunity, and we're doing this in the month of August. It's going to be for 1 week. We call it the 1K offer. So typically, if clients working with me, I have a certain set fee, and that's what it is, and they're able to work with me directly. But what the 1K offer will allow us to do is we're setting up businesses and LLCs for companies, and then the operating agreements, internal documents that you actually need to protect it, we're going to have templates with it. We're going to have a full template contract vault filled with 20 to 30 contracts of legit stuff that you need as a business owner, cease and desist, purchase agreements, independent contractors agreements, NDAs, non-disclosure, stop dropping your crazy successful business ideas just randomly to strangers who are stealing it because it happens, all those types of documents like that, free contract vault. And then we also have a business launch blueprint course that I created years ago that has over 30 modules from everything that we just discussed, like in depth, breaking down the business formations, all that stuff. And then we also have training videos on how to have a performing LLC and not just a paper LLC. Training videos are included in the membership. And then we also have a monthly business call with myself that will be one-on-one with the client for 3 months. So that's the 1K offer. Reform your business, and then you also get access to the membership vault for 3 months. And that's the offer that we want to create just for clients. Like I said, maybe the budget's tight now, but we still want to create an avenue for you to work with us, and we can kind of work together, not as direct, but it's still going to give you that value that you need to set up, protect your business. So that's dropping in August. This isn't going to be the only time that we do it. It will literally be available for 5 days, and then that's a wrap. But we just wanted to create that avenue because, you know, we mostly serve those clients in that upper space that are moving, but we still want to be sure that we're dropping value in addition to the social media, in addition to YouTube, the education that we drop. We want to create different avenues for people to work with the firm. So that was that. But other than that, you can find us on UBA Law Group, everything. UBA Law Group on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Website is ubalawgroup.com. And you can follow me personally on Twitter, Mr. Uba, MRUBA. I drop what I talk about. Like, this is what we do, so this is what you're gonna get.
For sure. I love it, man. Saludo. Thank you so much again, bro. I really appreciate you pulling up.
Thank y'all.
Coming, giving these gems to the people. Like he mentioned, y'all, that 1K offer. We're gonna try to get this out. I don't know if we'll get it out before the 1K offer happens. Yeah. If you ever choose to run this joint,
Maybe we can delay.
The BWR special?
Maybe we can delay. We'll talk. We'll see what happens.
Right. Look. Sure. We be looking out for y'all. That's all indeed, I'm saying. Indeed. Just watch out. We be looking out.
Might move around some things.
We can make the time in the line.
I might make
there's still a couple things that we might be adding to it, too, so that actually might not be a bad look. Okay. I'm trying to add some extra value.
For sure. Well, we'll hop into a couple of house cleaning items before we get up out of here.
Sure.
As always, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you leave us that
5-star rating and review.
5-star.
I need that. Share that with y'all people. We ain't gonna do it today.
My boy, I'm about to go read the review real quick. My boy said he paid off 75% of his debt. Listening to the
talk
pod.
To him. Yo, talk to me. Talk
come
to
on,
me.
Like, come on, bro. Like, it's gems, it's value on this. Just this episode alone, right, that we just went through. You should have learned how to properly structure your business, how to properly protect your business and your bank account from Mr. Uba himself. Like, we give y'all so much free game, it's ridiculous. All we asking for is a little love, baby. Just a little five stars. Ain't nothing. You know what I'm saying? Take you a minute. Write a little review. It may take you two. But we good with it.
You about to read the review or what?
Oh, yeah. I was looking at it.
And stuff.
So look,
while he's reading the review, I'll continue on with the house cleaning. I also want to say thank you. We do appreciate y'all for listening. Also, y'all tap in the Stack Summer Challenge. This summer, we are looking at what's going on in the current economic climate. So we're just making sure that we're prepared and ready to take advantage of any opportunities, or prepared and ready for if shit does hit the fans, you'll be able to at least sustain and make sure that you're fine. So what we're doing is, hey, you text the word stack to 337-455-7778. Text the word stack, you'll be able to join our stack community, and you'll get morning texts, you'll get weekly updates, encourage you to stay on your stack goals, motivating you. We're also waking up before the sun, making sure that we're staying active, making sure that we're getting our mental right, making sure that, hey, we're meditating, praying, whatever you got to do to make sure that you are realigning, recentering, and prepared for whatever situation it is. We're doing that. So y'all text the word stack to 337-455-7778.
Yes, sir. And I'm just going to read the headline of it. It's life-changing content. Shout out to Kay Shanier. That's all I'm going to give y'all.
Yeah.
There you go.
Until next time, this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out.
Peace.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.